141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The Premiership is back as Celtic stay top with a 3-1 win at Kilmarnock. It was points over performance for Rangers as they saw off St Mirren at Ibrox, and it's advantage Motherwell in the battle for third as they beat closest rivals Aberdeen. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson.
It was business as usual last night, Gordon, for Celtic and Rangers. Very impressive win for Celtic down at Rugby Park. People may have thought, oh, that could be a tricky one for Celtic, but They were firmly in control of the game. Rangers weren't at their best, but broke down a stubborn St Mirren. And Motherwell, like you say, what a result up at Pittodrie. A lot of pressure going up there, and you know, with Derek McInnes' squad being back to almost full fitness, Motherwell went up there and got a great result. But plenty of talking points other than the results. Lee Griffiths will be there, you know, people talking about him, people talking about the challenge on Frimpong. So looking forward to the show this evening.
Yeah, exciting times last night, Gordon. The top three all winning. It's not about, I know that as a fan going along there and paying your money just now, especially Celtic Rangers, it's all about getting the 3 points. I thought Celtic were impressive last night at Rugby Park. Early on, I was a bit concerned about the pitch. It was, you know, players were sliding all over the place. But Celtic got the job done. Even 2-1, when it went to 2-1, you're thinking, can Kilmarnock put a little bit of pressure on? But I thought Celtic handled that very, very well. At Ibrox, Defoe, the one thing about him is put decent balls in the box, he gets on the end, and they pick up that valuable 3 points and keeps them right on the heels of Celtic.
0141 951 1025. That's the number you need. Every single team in the Premiership played last night, so no excuses that your team weren't in action. We've been waiting over 3 weeks to get some reaction to some actual football, some actual top flight football matches. We've been waiting quite some time, so let us know what you made of the games last night. Were you there? Even better, you can give us the eyewitness account. Did you watch it on the television? Maybe you kept up with it on the radio. Whatever it was, let us know what you made of your team last night. What stood out? Who was good? Who was bad? What about the referee? The moments of controversy, drama, the talking points? It's all up to you. 0141 951 1025, and on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's hear from Neil Lennon. He says the display last night was some of the best football they've played in a while. He says it could have been a tricky fixture, and also that Jeremy Frimpong's injury isn't as bad as first feared.
Outstanding performance. I think it's a difficult place to come. I think sometimes the surface can be difficult, but we made easy weather of it tonight. And you know, 3-1 win, 3 outstanding goals, but more importantly, the performance was top class. The players were top class, their attitude was top class. So I'm absolutely delighted in the context of the season. That's as good as we've played for a while.
Is there a blow with Frimpong? What's the update?
I wouldn't think it's a fracture. He's up walking about on it, so that's good news. So we'll just have to see the severity of the bruising on it, that's all.
The rhetoric on the show leading up to the fixture, Mark, was that of course Celtic would be expected to win, as they more often than not are. But if you were to go and handpick a fixture to come back from the winter break, that certainly wouldn't have been it. Kilmarnock can be very difficult to break down. They got back to winning ways in the cup. You're going down there with the pitch. You can't really make excuses for Celtic because they have a really big squad. But still, no, you know, no Ryan Christie, no James Forrest. So taking all those things into account, it's easy to see why Neil Lennon was delighted with the outcome.
I thought they handled it brilliantly last night. Like you say, you only have to look back to last year where Rangers found it so difficult going to Rugby Park, and you know, you take the pitch into consideration as always. But you know, under Alex Dyer, you know, and a big win that Kelly got at the weekend in the cup, I know it was against Queen's Park, but it still boosts confidence. So it was never going to be an easy tie. But Celtic, I thought, started the game well and continued that way. Even when Kelly got back in the game and scored, I didn't think Celtic were in any real serious trouble. Interesting to see the shape that Neil Lennon went with. You know, we've always been used to seeing Celtic, mainly this season, 4-2-3-1. You know, he got a lot of criticism for playing that way against Rangers. But last night, you know, going with the three centre-backs and, you know, the five in midfield and two up front, you know, certainly paid off. Well, of course it paid off when you see your two strikers scoring. And it looks a shape that Celtic were comfortable with. And it'll be interesting to see if he goes along with that. You know, when James Forrest comes back and Christie comes back, it raises questions what you go to. But it shows when guys like that are out, real match winners are out, you can bring in and charm. You know, you can play with Hayes, you can play with, you know, Frimpong higher up as a wing back. And it worked, and Griffiths coming back, scoring a couple of goals, he looks in good shape.
Yeah, they both played, they both scored. Gordon, we don't see two strikers very often. Is that something that you can see them persisting with for a while?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, 100%. I liked to look at it last night, Gordon. I watched Celtic against Partick with the two up top, and I said that it's going to take a bit of time to get to know each other's game. I thought they looked very good last night. I think they linked up well. They played as a partnership last night for me. You've got two guys that are used to playing as the lone striker at Celtic. So when you go with a partner up there, sometimes it comes difficult, but the look it's going to be a really, really good for them.
So what did you make of Celtic's performance last night? What about the front two? Is that something you would like to see kept for a while, or have you got other ideas? 01419511025. You Rangers fans, what did you make of it? It was clearly more about the 3 points than the performance. Steven Gerrard's warning: fans can't expect them to blow away every opponent. Of course, there was some frustration on the night as the 1-0 victory was secured, but the manager says it's simply the result that matters.
It's three important points, gets us closer to where we want to be. I think that's 6 wins on the spin now, and only one setback, I think it's in 20-21 games. So look, I'm positive, I'm happy. I understand some of the frustrations going around the fans and some of my players frustrated that they haven't scored 2 goals and 3 goals and 4 goals. But look, over the course of a season, it's not going to be perfect every game. We're still trying to find our top gear and our top rhythm. I understand all that, but it's a win, it's a clean sheet. I thought defensively we were very sound, and we could have killed the game off late on with some breakaways and some half chances, but it wasn't to be. But we'll take the win and move on.
So Rangers fans, what did you make of it? Are you singing from the same hymn sheet as the manager? It's just about the points, nothing else matters. Or were you a bit frustrated that the margin of victory wasn't more comfortable? You tell us. 01419511025. Stuart's in Cambus Lang. He's a Celtic fan, going to kick things off tonight. What did you make of it, Stuart?
I thought the job done there. I thought they played very well. Considering the pitch, I don't like that pitch, but they've done the job and done what they had to do. But the point I'd like to make is, for me, he's not kicked a ball for months.
Who are you talking about, Stuart? You broke up there, sorry.
James Forrest, he's not kicked a ball for months. And I like Frimpong on the way, playing as a winger. Do you think you could play him as a winger? And do you think James Forrest could get back in the team?
I think James Forrest is certain to get back in the team. I think he's too important for...
Listen, he keeps saying that. Yeah. You tell me what James Forrest has done for weeks and months. He's not done nothing. See, against Rangers, the guy was there. He was non-existent.
You just go back to against Rangers. There's a lot of players with Celtic didn't play particularly well against Rangers. But I think James Forrest this season has played as well as anyone. He's scoring goals. He's creating goals.
I don't agree with you, Stuart.
It's your opinion, mate, and it's mine's. Where you're talking about Frimpong playing as a winger, I know he started there, but I liked him last night. I thought the formation looked good last night with the two wing backs. I like him in a wing back position. Sometimes it's very easy. It's like the Rangers fans used to say, well, Tavernier can play one up as a winger. No, he can't. Sometimes they like to see the full length of the pitch coming onto the ball and seeing that space and driving into it. I think that's where his strength is. But Stuart, I think that you'll find probably Neil Lennon will agree with me. I think that James Forrest, the minute he's fit, will be back in the team.
Having said that, Mark, a lot of it perhaps will come down to which shape Neil Lennon decides to persevere with. If it is going to be the sort of 3-5-2, the rough version of that which we saw last night, then I suppose Frimpong is tailor made for that role.
I think so. I think Frimpong, that looks his strongest position. You know, not quite a winger, but he's got the full length to go ahead of him. You know, he's not got a winger restricting him, and he thrived, he flourished in that role last night. Now, if it's a 3-5-2, listen, I agree with Daz with James Forrest. I'm a big James Forrest fan. I know he divides the fans, and he's not had the best 2 months in his career. If it's a 3-5-2, where do you fit him in to that system? You know, playing him as a wing back, I don't think Jamesy likes playing there that much, but Frimpong, you can see, is tailor made for it. And of course, you need to keep three strong centre half fit to play that system. And with Simunovic back, you know, Iron Julian, it looked good. You know, it looked strong, it looked powerful. They had pace in the wide areas, and it worked, especially with two up front. So, you know, it's great to have James Forrest fit and Christie fit, and Christie will come in because he can play central. But if it's looking good and it's getting results,
do you think they'd leave Forrest out, Mark?
Listen, I just think if it really continues to look good with Frimpong in the wide area, I mean, James isn't he a wing back, so would they play him there?
Well, he could play there. I don't think it's his best position. I think Frimpong's tailor made for that position. I just think Neil Lennon likes James Forrest so much and what he brings to the team that when Forrest comes back fit, I'm sure Forrest will be in the starting 11.
I mean, sure, Mark agrees with you that the last couple of months haven't been vintage James Forrest, but even taking that into account, he's averaging a goal every two games from a wide position this season. He's the reigning player of the year in Scotland. Surely it wouldn't be a surprise to see him come back into the team.
I watch James Forrest week in, week out. I pay money to watch him. I was at the Rangers game. Now Frimpong's telling him to go wide in the right hand side. Where's Forrest going? Inside. Because he didn't want the ball. He didn't want to get involved in the game. Now I played football. He didn't want to know the game. He just didn't want to get involved. Because somebody hit him hard right away. See, after that, he didn't want to know. And see, we go to Ibrox and play James Forrest, Rangers will beat us. You mark my words.
So you're going to base the defeat at Ibrox all in the fact that if Celtic played James Forrest... How many games has James Forrest played against Rangers and won?
How many good games has he played against Rangers? How many good games has he played against Rangers?
They don't score the winner against them.
Yeah, plenty, Stuart.
Yeah, you're basing this all in one game against Rangers. Gordon's just gave you the stats. Okay, that James Forrest has set such a high standard, and all of a sudden, if he takes a little bit of dip, then you're on saying, well, he shouldn't be in the team. Gordon's just gave you the stats of what he's brought to the party for Celtic this season, not just this season, but seasons prior to that as well. I think you're being a wee bit hard on James Forrest, to be honest with you, Stuart. We've all got our opinions. We all like different players. But I think James Forrest is a big player for Celtic.
Thank you to Stuart and Cambus Lang. It's 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you, Rangers fans. What did you make of the performance last night? Was it all about the points, or would you prefer more in the way of a convincing performance? You tell us. You're the one that watched it. You're the one that kept an eye on things all night. What did you make of it? 0141 951 1025. Let's speak to Mark, who's also a Celtic fan on the line. Hi, Mark.
Hi. What does Greg Taylor have to do to get a game every week? I mean, the guys that keep getting a game ahead of him are inferior, in my opinion. Is it just that Lennon didn't want him, didn't sanction the signing, or I don't know. I don't know what's going on with the coach and staff. I don't know how Bolly and Hayes get a game ahead of Taylor.
Did you think Johnny Hayes? How do you think he did last night?
I thought he was poor. Poor, but a couple of times he played the ball inside, which was a terrible ball to Julian, and there was another one inside to somebody else where we lost possession again. He's a winger. This is the problem with modern fullbacks, is they tend to be wingers, and then not just Celtic, but all teams seem to try to turn them into fullbacks and stuff like that, and positionally and stuff like that. They're hopeless. They don't have any defensive attributes, etc.
I think he's suited. I think Johnny Hayes is more suited to being a wing back now. I think you know, he's got to that age now that he's not got that electric burst of pace that he had, you know, in his Aberdeen days. And I think he does a good job defensively for Celtic. And I think just that in between role, I think if Celtic are thinking about playing that position, he's a good bet. Listen, Mark, I'm a Greg Taylor fan. And I'd like to see.
You're not telling me that Hayes or Bolly are better than Taylor.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm a Greg Taylor fan, and I'd like to see more of him. But it's obvious Neil likes Johnny Hayes. He's played him in big games. I mean, the Lazio game away, where we're all thinking, you know, Greg Taylor's there, or who's he going to play? And he plays Johnny Hayes, and wasn't he working for the first wee bit? But he grew into the game, and he ended up a top choice that night, and He tends to play him more often than not in these big occasions. So he sees him every day, Mark. He sees Greg Taylor every day.
It's Lenny's judgment that I'm questioning. I don't think defensively I don't think they know what they're looking for defensively when it comes to players and stuff like that. Some of the guys that get a game, as I said, I don't know what's happening in training, but as I said, if Greg Taylor's not your number one left back, there's something wrong with the coaching staff.
Well, Mark, at the end of the day, the coaching staff are, no disrespect, probably better equipped to make that decision than someone that gives a long pays their money. Yeah, that's what they're paid for.
They do and see these players all the time, but yes, Mark isn't alone. It's worth bearing in mind. Everything in this show, you get differences of opinion, but so many people get in touch wondering what on earth Greg Taylor needs to do.
Here's my next point was going to be this, Gordon. I was following up with it. I like to start low and then come high at the end of it. You look at Partick Thistle. He played against Partick Thistle, right? He goes to Kilmarnock. The strange thing about me, I can understand if it's anywhere else, that if he plays Johnny Hayes, fine choice. Greg Taylor's played there for most of his career. He knows that pitch. He knows everything about the pitch. He knows the surroundings. I thought he was tailor made to play, especially as a wing back last night at Rugby Park. But Neil Lennon, as you quite rightly said, he's watching these guys in training every day, and he felt Johnny Hayes was the right decision last night, and it was the right decision because they won 3-1.
Right, Mark, it was a 3-1 victory. Give us something you were happy about.
Happy with the 3 points, that was it. I didn't think we played particularly well. Happy to get the 3 points, but as I said, I just know in the following weeks, I said, you know, Greg Taylor won't get a game again unless it's a lesser game, you know, like maybe the Scottish Cup or something like that. But as I said, how Bolly and Hayes get a game ahead of him, it's just beyond me.
Okay, we'll leave that there. Thank you very much to Mark, who's a Celtic fan on the line. We're going to hear more from Stephen Gerrard. We've got Alistair, who's a Rangers fan. He's waiting patiently, and we'll get his thoughts on last night's game at Ibrox next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, looking for your reaction to your team's performance last night. Every single team in the Premiership involved, the top league back with a bang, with a full midweek fixture card under the lights. So what did you make of it? Give us a call or tweet us at Clyde SSB. Alistair is a Rangers fan from Corker Hill. How would you describe Rangers' performance last night, Alistair?
It was totally dire, Gordon, as of last Friday as well. The only consolation is we've had two clean sheets, but there's no penetration coming through from the midfield to try and ignite the forward line.
I don't think you'll be alone in perhaps being critical of the performance, Alistair. What about Stephen Gerrard's take, though, that surely the 3 points is the most important thing and you can't expect to blow teams away all the time?
No, I wouldn't agree with that, Gordon, because the goal average could come into play come the end of the season. You've just got to go and do your best to take teams off the park. But Rangers do seem to struggle against well-organised setups.
It's difficult sometimes at home when teams come with a game plan to frustrate and but they've every reason to do that, you know, because if they open up and be expansive, then Rangers do run amok and score 4 and 5. And why would you want that? You want to give yourself the best opportunity. It's up to Rangers to break that down, you know. And Stephen Gerrard's right. It's not always going to be sparkling football. I mean, it's funny, the first three callers we've had on, you know, two Celtic fans and one Rangers fans, and they're, wasn't it great? And it's 3 points. I mean, remember this time last year, Rangers come back, slip up the first game, and they find it difficult to clock back since then. It could have easily have been that way for Celtic after disappointment of the Rangers game and going to Kelly, but it wasn't. And it's all a wee bit doom and gloom. And they're tricky fixtures, these ones, coming back and getting back into league business.
I know it wasn't vintage, Alistair, but that is the 6th win in a row. And within those 6 games, Rangers have conceded once. It was against Celtic, and I can already hear people saying, aye, and that one came off Callum McGregor's arm and that. Or Odson Edwards' arm and shouldn't have counted. So, you know, as part of a bigger picture, surely you can find some optimism somewhere.
Well, I'm not the one that presses a panic button, Gordon. I disagree with what Mark says, because you're wanting to beat teams, but Rangers were lucky in the counter last night. Said Murray played from out of defence very well, and we were perhaps lucky that they didn't have much firepower up front, or it could have been a different result.
Well, Alistair, what do you disagree with what I said? What about what?
Maybe doom and gloom, Mark. I know, with the football that I seen last night. All right, nobody can be perfect all the time. And sometimes, all right, I'm a critic and I'm very hard to please quite a lot. And I would deny
that.
Well,
so you're doom and gloom then?
No, I'm not doom and gloom. I'm
well, you're saying you're harsh critic. I just won last night. You're the one that's on here moaning about it.
I'm no moaning about it. I'm only saying it was a bad game. No, well, I'm no, because I can assure you. I've seen it all. And
who's wrong, Juki, I think he's in a bad mood. Grumpy Mushroom night. I've never seen Grumpy Mushroom before.
On behalf of this guy standing next to me, somebody's rattled his cage. What's your problem?
I think so, because he's normally quite calm, cool, collected.
Alistair, it's been a long day.
I think it's that big job it's getting to him.
This is what happens in the transfer window at the bottom of League Two. That's what happens. Anyway, Gordon, on a more serious note, we're going to get this. This is par for the course in this city, because we've got two massive teams with massive expectations, and sometimes for some people 3 points isn't enough.
Yeah, I think it is just now, Gordon. I think it's so important. I totally understand the supporter going along to, you know, Ibrox last night, for instance. I think a lot of Rangers supporters would be thinking this could be, if we go and play, it'll be 3-4 and we'll get plenty of entertainment, plenty of goals. But you said it there, 6 wins, lost one goal. You'd be happy with that. It's all about picking up the points. If you can get a performance on top of that and more goals, brilliant. But I will go back and say that we've had the winter break. Rangers have come back. Now on Friday night they made 7 or 8 changes. So this is last night, guys just getting back into the run of the league, the fitness, everything, the match sharpness, whatever it may be. Sometimes you've got to give credit to the opposition. Jim Goodwin went along there. He mentioned it the other night there before a game, with a game plan. Certainly a game plan, you know, you've got to say worked a little bit, because I think a lot of people maybe would have been looking at a lot more than one goal.
And they've done okay against Celtic and Rangers, haven't they? Granted, the points total isn't there, but they've managed to frustrate both at times.
Yeah. So for me just now, and it's the same at the weekend, if Ross County come to Celtic Park and make it difficult and Celtic win that 1-0 or 2-1 or whatever it may be, you've just got to accept that that's the way it is just now. It's a 3 points. And Hearts against Rangers will be the same. They would love to walk out of Tynecastle saying, by the way, you didn't play well today, but we'll get 3 points in the bag.
Alistair, thank you very much for your thoughts, even though you've seemed to have upset Mark Wilson, which doesn't happen very often, but we'll try and calm him down between now and 8 o'clock. That was Alistair on the line. Let's hear more from Stephen Gerrard. It was, of course, Jermaine Defoe who scored the only goal. He remained up front in the absence of Alfredo Morelos. Stephen Gerrard says other players returning will help out as well.
When he's not available for whatever reason, you're always going to miss him, because he's a top striker, and he's been in terrific form for us. But again, Jermaine Defoe's been big for us. That's two starts on the spin, 2 goals. So we're really happy with that. But yes, we need him back as quick as possible. James as well, obviously our captain, who is a big threat from the right-hand side and provides quality for us. Another big loss, Greg Stewart, who's capable of opening the block with quality, is another big miss. So, having said that, it's even more so, an even more positive win.
Joe and Cambus Lang, what do you make of the way Jermaine Defoe is leading the line in the absence of Morelos?
Well, I was going to make a somewhat of a guy before, but I don't know if I want to upset Mark.
No, don't. No, please.
Calm down now.
You go.
He used that time listening to Stephen Gerrard to just calm himself down. He's fine.
All right, okay. Perfect. I was at the game last night. I got to all the games, and I think Jermaine Defoe, I mean, I'm delighted he's at Rangers. I'm delighted he's in our squad, but I think that's what he is. I think he's a squad player. Although, he's an excellent finisher, his career is fantastic, but I think last night showed how much we do miss Morelos. It's very, very frustrating watching Rangers sometimes, because defensively and in midfield we've been decent, but it seems to be in that final third last night, we're getting up to the 18-yard box, then St Mirren, as you quite rightly said, Gordon, St Mirren played, Jim, whatever his name was, played Jim Goodwin, he played to frustrate us. He came out and said during the week that's what he was going to do, and fair play to the guy, that's what he did. But we just seem incapable of breaking these teams down. And when it comes to that ball, that cutting ball, that sliding ball through a striker mat to run onto, there was just no options last night. And you could really feel the frustration in the fans, and you're thinking, I said to my son, I said, this has got 1-1 written all over it, because St Mirren had two attacks, maybe the 72nd and 74th minute. There was a header the boy was through, and if the boy had been a bit more clinical, he would have scored. And it just worries me, the fact that we're over personnelled, if you like, in midfield. We seem to have an abundance of midfielders and wingers. We're okay in defence. But there's last night, we've got Jermaine Defoe available, Greg Stewart's injured, Alfredo Morelos is suspended. At the start of the season, you're watching Morelos as a Rangers fan and you're thinking he's going to start behaving himself, his disciplinary record's going to be better. And then he goes and does, it's the one moment of madness or two moments of madness, and he's out for two games or three games, and we just can't have that.
I'm fascinated by this stuff, Gordon, because it's not to say that I'm disagreeing with you. Ultimately, Jermaine Defoe, I mean, he is a squad player because he is back up to Alfredo Morelos. He's got 16 goals in 28 appearances. Now, most of those appearances will be off the bench as well. He comes in and scores the winner last night. I know overall in the 90 minutes it might not seem enough to guys like Joe, but
the one thing about Defoe is simple for me, Gordon. If you get the supply to him, 9 out of 10 he puts the ball in the back of net. He's a terrific striker. He has been it throughout his career. If you go and just, as a young player coming into the game and you're wanting to learn the game, I thought two strikers last night, Edouard for his goal, his touch of the ball to put the ball by the goalkeeper was brilliant. If you look at Defoe last night, as Barisic is playing that ball in, he's behind the defender and his movement, not just that 1-2 yards, gets in front, bang, it's in the back of net. I think Defoe has been absolutely brilliant for Rangers. I really do. He is a squad player, you're right, because Morelos is the first pick. But you can't say, you know, well, we know it's going to be because Defoe's playing up for it. I think you get the service to Defoe, he'll do the rest for you. I think he's that quality, I really do. I think the problem is, I think Rangers may be a little bit rusty. Maybe I didn't watch a game last night, just seen the highlights because I was watching the Celtic game. Maybe a little bit rusty, Gordon. It's their first game back. They're at home. Massive crowd there. St Mirren make it difficult. Put everybody behind the ball, try and hit them in the counter attack. That's what's going to happen now at the end of the season until Celtic come. It's as simple as that, but it's all about 3 points.
You're a good man, Joe. Thank you very much for the call. Let's hear from Celtic captain Scott Brown. He says he would be facing calls to be banned if he was responsible for the kind of challenge that saw Jeremy Frimpong stretchered off at Kilmarnock. It was Alan Power who brought him down late on in the 3-1 win. The Celtic captain's looking for a bit more consistency.
If I'd done the tackle, it's becomes reckless and everyone surrounding the ref and stuff like that, and it's one of those ones, and we've seen it back and both feet are off the ground as well. So I think if I'm in that situation, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of punters, there's a lot of fans putting pressure on me to get a suspension, to get sent off and stuff like that. So I think it's the levels that we want maintained, so the same thing happens every single game.
Willie's a Celtic fan from Parkhead. What did you make of the tackle, Willie?
I thought it was definitely a booking. I don't think it was a red, but I definitely thought it was a booking. He's 2 feet left the ground and side on, and I thought it was definitely a yellow card.
So is that the bit that surprises you then? I know there's many people calling for a red, but the fact that it wasn't even a yellow, is that the bit that surprises you?
That's a bit surprising me. I thought it was definitely a yellow card anyway, so definitely a yellow card.
Verdict from you two in the studio?
Couldn't agree more with Willie there. I thought it was a red either? Nah, I don't. I think it was a yellow. I thought he got a wee nick in the ball. He's forced it. His feet definitely are off the ground, and the force he goes into it, you know, is pretty hefty.
Sounds like a red then.
Nah, I didn't say. I didn't say excessive force. I says it was hefty.
Don't know, hefty force.
Yeah, hefty is different from excessive. But nah, I think it should have been a booking. I'm with Willie in this one.
Gordon,
I think it's the pace he comes in, Gordon. I think.
Would you have been surprised if it was a red then?
Yeah, I thought I'm with Willie. I thought it was a yellow card. I thought it was a booking because he does get the ball and clearly gets the ball.
Yeah, but we know now. We're well used to now. Yeah. Though getting the ball is irrelevant, isn't it?
Do you know another thing? I could be totally wrong. As I say, I watched the game and the first 20 minutes, I couldn't believe how many players were sliding all over the place in the pitch, right? I don't know if it had been water, what had happened to it, but they were sliding all over the place. Power comes in at such a pace. He goes sliding in there. He does win the ball. Yeah, unfortunately for my young player of the year. He gets injured, but I'm sure he'll be back. I'll have a word with him. We'll get him back and get him back playing quickly. But I do think that it was a yellow card. I don't think it was a red.
And by the way, I'm not saying it was. I'm just trying to make sure that we assess it properly, because you always hear this about getting the ball. We know that that doesn't matter. We know tackling and challenges, it's completely different now. And getting the ball, it's not even worth mentioning, really. Like I say, I don't really care. I'm not here to give an opinion on whether it was a yellow or a red, but I just want it to be assessed.
I still think you can tackle and you can still have force in your tackle without it being, oh, that's an automatic red. I know the game's moved on and you can't tackle now than you could even 10 years ago. Never mind, you know, back when Daz played. But I mean, but I mean, you can still put a challenge in like that. I get what Scott Brown's saying, because Scott Brown's high profile, people, you know, would have been, you know, on his case saying, oh, this should have been a ban. But I mean, I'm pretty sure, you know, a midfielder, you know, who's a leader and likes that battle, you know, they don't like to injure players, but they go in with an intent of winning the ball. And if that means with a wee bit of force, then so be it. But I don't think it was a red.
Willie, what do you make of Scott Brown's take on it? He says if it was him, everyone would be calling for a ban.
Aye, well, it would be. It was just not, but we see it with the green eyes, didn't we? No, I just see it within me. But what would disappoint me with that Celtic support about James Forrest. See, if he doesn't want to go to him, I'll get somebody to take his ticket and we'll go and watch it. And the boy goes, I go to my work and I have a bad day. Everybody goes to work and have a bad day. Boy's having a bad day, but I'd put it. You just go on, mate, and just support the boy.
It's very true. I mean, Gordon and Mark do it every Thursday, but we invite them back because they're nice guys and we enjoy their company. Thank you very much to Willie in Parkhead giving us his take on that tackle from Alan Power. Scott Brown says he would be facing calls to be banned if it was him. That was the take of Willie in Parkhead. 01419511025 at Clyde SSB on Twitter. In case you hadn't noticed, Lee Griffiths chucked a ball of tape or something along those lines into the Kilmarnock crowd last night. We're going to get Neil Lennon's verdict next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, which reminds me, it was this time last week that you two had an empty.
So was I.
And I had to head off and catch a flight. You two inexplicably were left to your own devices. I must say, Mark, we were getting some good feedback about your performance.
Was that right?
Yeah.
He wasted the
not so much Gordon's, but I heard you took the lead. Nice. You stepped up.
Listen, he was bringing us down. He started putting the old professional voice on that he'd obviously been practicing.
We'd crack at it and you messed it up.
Everyone kept telling me, honestly, they kept mentioning the job that you did, the role that you did, and they kept saying, Mark Wilson, what a great anchor he was. I'm sure it was anchor.
I'm sure it was Ant and Deck. I'm not too sure if it was Deck.
Did you enjoy it? You great. Didn't burn the studio down.
No,
we're all good.
I was a wee bit nerve wracking. No, but it's nerve wracking when you take my hat off to you when you have to read something but speak at the same time. I know that sounds stupid.
Well, as in read it aloud.
And then get rid of a caller. I feel terrible. Moving on to the next caller, you know, cut them off at the same cheerio and just, well, I wanted to say all the best and hope your day goes well. But
you can do that.
He tried to copy you, Gordon, and instead of just going with the flow, being natural.
You were giving it all. Welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
01419511025.
Anyway, it was good fun. Holiday going well.
It's nice for you to be on our show tonight.
Aye, do I feel shit?
Yeah, thanks for having me back. 01419511025 at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Let's hear a bit from Neil Lennon. He says he'll back Lee Griffiths all the way after a confrontation with a Kilmarnock fan last night. You may have seen it as he was coming off. He took the tape from his socks, I think, rolled it up, threw it into the Kilmarnock section just behind the dugout. He says the striker was the victim of unsavoury abuse and his behaviour was exemplary, according to the Celtic boss Neil Lennon.
He was getting a lot of abuse, unsavoury abuse that was totally uncalled for. He was backed up by myself and his teammates on the bench. I thought his behaviour tonight was exemplary. At times we take uncalled for abuse, and he didn't do anything wrong. People can blow it up into what it was. It was nothing. And he always seems to get, you know, controversy surrounding him, but I'll back him to the hilt on this one. His behaviour tonight was top class, as was his performance.
I think he said on severe abuse, was it overstepping the mark?
I wouldn't say overstepping the mark, but it was abuse that was uncalled for. The kid had played well. He hadn't gotten himself into any bother on the pitch. He goes and sits down and he gets abused from supporters. So, you know, in this day and age, we have to accept that and behave in a sanitised way. And he did. So, again, you're looking for a story that's just not there. And if there is a story, then I'll back him and defend him to the hilt.
Do you have any concerns there might be some fallout from it? Because given the climate with celebrations and gestures and all that stuff...
He didn't make a gesture.
He did throw something towards the Kamara supporters.
He didn't really. He threw a bit of tape on the ground. So I don't know how you can say he threw it at somebody or towards somebody. People take off tape and throw it away. For me, there's nothing in it at all. If there's going to be something made of this, then I'll be the first one at the front of the queue backing him up.
Well, no surprise that Neil Lennon's coming out and backing his player. That was always going to happen. I thought Lee Griffiths last night, I thought he played very well. He's starting to look sharp again. I'm delighted he's back, Gordon. I think he can really offer a lot to Celtic. He's starting to get a good partnership with Edward. I totally understand what Neil's saying about, well, it was nothing. But don't put yourself in the position when you come off. Of course you're going to take a bit of flack. He's just scored against Kilmarnock and he set up the winner. He's had a very good game. What you want? You think Kilmarnock supporters sitting next to the dugout is going to give him a round of applause? Well done, League. On you go. Brilliant to see you back. Of course, that's the nature of the beast, especially when you play with a team like Celtic and you're away from home and the away fans are sitting next to you. But don't... I know it's a silly thing. I really do. But don't put yourself in that position. What is the point even throwing, whether it's tape or whatever it may be? And Neil saying he's throwing it on the ground. He threw it towards the supporter. Do not put yourself in that position. Especially, you're on your way back. Everything was good. He's right about his behaviour on the pitch. I thought he played well, scored a goal. He put the ball in for Julian to score a winner. His link-up play was good. Enjoy your night. Get off and say, right, can't wait for my next game to come against Ross County.
George is in Rutherglen. I believe you wanted to discuss this incident, George.
Yeah, 45 minutes it took us to discuss this incident. 45 minutes. Oh, I feel...
Talking about it now, George.
I know that, but this is where my point's coming in, mate. Aye. It's kind of been brushed under the carpet, I think, a while, especially the media. I can tell you right now, he did throw it at a fan. I've seen it on the telly. Aye. And he should be pulled up for it. You know, we're going on about fans throwing things at players. All right, it's a bit of tape. Still, he shouldn't be doing it. And if that was Alfredo Morelos that done that, it'd be mentioned at the beginning of the call, the beginning of the show, and the papers would be all at like a rash. This is where we're getting judged differently, and Morelos is getting judged differently. He was intent to throw a bit of tape, no matter what it was, at an opposing fan. He should get pulled up for it, and the compliance officer should do him for it.
Yeah, Gordon thought he was wrong to throw the tape. Mark, what do you think? George obviously does as well.
No, listen, I don't think there's any doubt about it. You know, I've seen the pictures. He certainly threw the tape towards the fan. I don't think he's thrown it at the ground. And listen, the guys are right. Lee Griffiths did well in the game. He's just back and everything's looking rosy. Even if he's taking abuse, listen, you just can't do it. You just can't throw things. I mean, we're talking to a society, a game here that we can't even celebrate or go near the crowd with your own fans when you score. So you can't be throwing things as little as it is, because you then, I know Neil doesn't want it to be a story, but with the scrutiny on players at this moment in time, and Morelos gets it for gestures, it just becomes a story out of nothing.
Do you think it would be a bit worse if it was Morelos? Honestly, Mark, I know you're a Celtic man, but just in the environment we're in at the moment, I know he doesn't do himself any favours, but I think it would be highlighted a wee bit more.
Listen, I'm not too sure, because as soon as I got up this morning and I'm reading social media and, I see it, it's there. Everyone was reporting on it. I mean, the guys, the journalists at the game, George, were asking Neil Lennon about it. So they pulled Neil on it right away. So I don't think anybody was trying to hide it.
No, but it seemed to be a point that it was against Boyd with the pointing the finger. Really, that bit of the, you know, what happened at the end of the game wasn't as highlighted as much as what, you know, the pointing that Boyd would have been at. Listen, you know, at the end of the day, it was hardly nothing, and half the things that happened to Morelos is hardly nothing. But if you're going to judge them all the same, then I think you should get pulled up by the compliance officer and get done for it.
George is onto something in the sense, Gordon, that this is where we're at. So you can blame whoever you want, and this is Glasgow in a way. They started it. No, they started it. We actually now are in a footballing environment, and you can't tell me anyone genuinely enjoys it, where we have to debate gestures and what they might mean in this country, what they might mean in another, and who it was specifically directed at, and was the bit of tape thrown on the ground or was it thrown at something? It is getting a bit ridiculous, but you can understand why everyone at least wants some sort of consistency with it.
The bottom line's simple, Gordon. Players know what's going to happen. Everything's highlighted. Now, I understand Georgia Rangers supporter come on and say, well, if it was Morelos, it would have been... I can't be bothered with all that nonsense, right? I just think it's total nonsense. I think that you look back about, well, what about that gesture? What about this? Players have got a responsibility to behave themselves. It's hard enough because we are talking about supporters throwing coins and doing what they were doing last season and try to sort that out and how we feel for players. I totally understand Lee Griffiths coming off of there and he's getting it from all angles from the Kilmarnock supporters. That shouldn't bother him because he's going to get it. The lad's just scored. He's been part of winning against Kilmarnock. He's set up the winner. He's come off there. He's had a great night. He's getting himself back in the finish. Do not put yourself in that position. And nobody's going to tell me, well, it was okay. There was nothing in it. He threw a bit of tape. Don't throw the tape at the supporter because that's what he did.
Can I come back in, mate?
Yep, make it quick. The news is fast approaching, George.
I don't know, that's fine. Sometimes I think, what about it? It's just a cop out for no asking a direct question. I think that's sometimes used a lot by the panellists. It's actually in regards to the Rangers midfield. I think there's a lot of players that are there are quite the same. I think Gerrard should be looking for a wee bit of mix in there. I know he's all thinking about another striker, but I think we've seen that last night. Three midfielders there all doing the same job kind of thing.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I think we need a wee bit more diversity.
That's a fair point, Gordon. I want you to answer it quickly because the news is coming up. I saw people making that on social media as well. In a game like that, were the three of them maybe a bit similar?
But once again, I'll get back to saying that the Rangers manager so far has got it bang on. If he wins his game in hand, he's top of the league. If he wins the rest of his game, he wins the league. So it's very hard to argue.
It's just people looking for improvement, though. You can always do that.
I think when Arfield's in there in the middle of the park, he gives them something different. He's the one that goes beyond. He's the one that can get in the box and get in a good position and score goals. So I don't really think the Rangers should be looking at a midfield player just now.
George and Rutherglen, thank you very much for the call.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to win a signed ball, but only if you get more football questions right than Mark Wilson or Gordon DL. We say it every Thursday. It sounds easy, but they've actually got not too bad a rate of wins. So if you fancy it tonight and you want to get one over on them, it's 01419511025, and you have to call us before 7 o'clock.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to thompsons.com.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. Time to get your calls in, plenty of it. We're here until 8 o'clock. 01419511025 at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Been looking back on as many of last night's talking points as possible, but if there's some we've missed, then you know the number. You can bring them up. 01419511025. What about that battle for third place? Motherwell fans, big advantage to you, or still plenty of football to be played? Aberdeen fans, I'm sensing a bit of a bit of anger, a bit of frustration on social media from you after that defeat to Motherwell. So why not let us know what you made of that game last night? After we do this, of course.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Mark Wilson or Gordon DL, one of them, will be taking on Lewis from Clyde Bank. How are you, Lewis?
Yeah, not bad, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad, Lewis. A Rangers fan, what did you make of the result last night?
Yeah, only 1-0, but that's a sign of champions, isn't it?
That's very true. That's what they say sometimes, Mark Wilson. But I think you were right though. I'm detecting a lot of what was it, doom and gloom you said. Celtic fans wanted more last night, Rangers fans wanted more. Is anybody happy?
Exactly. That's what United just won these games. Get them out of the way.
Anyway, you can give us a call after we play Beat the Pundit. I'm going to toss the coin. If it's heads, Lewis, you're going to be taking on Mark. And if it's tails, it will be Gordon. And it is tails. It's Gordon DL against Lewis from the Clyde Bank. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to give you some Clyde 2 to listen to Gordon. That way he cannot hear your answers. Lewis, here are the rules. You've got 30 seconds. Head to head with Gordon, you can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
Yep.
Let's do it. Who's the captain of Hearts?
Christoph Brenner.
What was the half-time score in last night's Kilmarnock-Celtic game?
1-0 Celtic.
Who did Ian Maxwell replace as Scottish FA chief executive?
Pass.
Who are currently top of the Highland League?
Brother Rangers.
Motherwell's Liam Donnelly is from which country?
Scotland.
Which Celtic player is joining Genk on loan?
Bio.
Who was the first non-Scottish team Kenny Miller played for?
Wolves.
What is the traditional name of Livingston's home ground?
Almondvale.
Okay, let's see if we can bring Gordon back. Gordon, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Great stuff. Same set of questions to you. You ready?
Yep.
Who is the captain of Hearts?
Naismith.
What is the half-time score in last night's Kilmarnock-Celtic match?
1-0 Celtic.
Who did Ian Maxwell replace as the Scottish FA's chief executive?
Oh, Pat, come in.
Who's currently top of the Highland League?
The Highland League, Borough Rangers.
Mother was Liam Donnelly's from which country?
England.
Which Celtic player is joining Genk on loan?
Pat.
Who is the first?
Coassie. Right.
Who was the first non-Scottish team Kenny Miller played for?
Non-Scottish team?
Yes.
Wales.
Okay. I think you had him rattled, Lewis.
I know, I never thought I'd done too well at first.
We're going to have to get producer Andy to quickly clip that. I want to know what you said for the Highland League.
Burra Rangers, I think I said.
Burra Rangers. I don't think that was an acceptable answer. We'll get to that in a second. Who's the captain of Hearts? Lewis, it was Christoph Berra until last week, and it's now Stephen Naismith. So Gordon goes in front.
No, that rattled him.
The half time. I think it's a bit early. I think it's a bit early for you to be talking like that.
Yep.
What was the half time score in last night's Kilmarnock Celtic match? It was 1-0 Celtic. You both got that right. So it's 2-1 to Gordon. Who did Ian Maxwell replace as the Scottish FA's chief executive? Stuart Regan? Who is currently top of the Highland League? Lewis said Brora Rangers quite clearly.
That's what I said.
And gets the point. You
Brora.
I don't know what you said.
I said Brora Rangers.
Nah, I don't. Mark, what was your? Because you laughed, and that's what sort of
Brora Rangers.
It's a new team threw me off. Right, let the stewards' inquiry. Place as the Scottish FA's chief executive. Oh, it's too long. And producer Andy, I need to cut that down. I'm not playing the full thing again.
It definitely says Borough Rangers.
Right, hold on, I think we've got it this time.
It's just my throat was sore. Borough Rangers. There you go. Borough Rangers.
No, I'm not getting
Borough Rangers.
Borough Rangers. One more time.
I'll
say it. Stewards inquiry. VAR one more time.
Borough Rangers. Borough Rangers.
No way.
It is.
Mark.
Oh, come on.
No chance. Producer Andy.
No chance.
Nah, he's shaking the head. Right. So that's Lewis equalised. Motherwell's Liam Donnelly is from Northern Ireland. He's a Northern Ireland international.
Good. He never got that either.
Which Celtic player is joining Genk on loan? It's Kouassi. None of you got that.
I said that right after it.
Yeah, but you said
play it back.
No,
play
you,
it
said
back.
You said pass first.
I said pass to Kouassi.
No, I'm sorry. The first non-Scottish team Kenny Miller played for was Wolves.
Yes!
You both got that
No, did he get another question?
He did.
Well, what was it?
What is the traditional name of Livingston's home ground? Would you have got it?
Alvindale.
He certainly wouldn't have got it.
Alvindale. What is it?
Lewis, tell him what it is.
Almondvale.
It's Almondvale. Lewis got it.
No!
1, 2, 3, 4 for Lewis and 3 for Gordon DL. Well done, Lewis.
Defeated.
Thanks very much, my friend.
Yes, Lewis. Lewis, just give producer Andy your address. Since you're in Clyde Bank, we'll get Gordon to drop
the ball off on
the way home.
Get back
Thanks
to that.
Brother
Rangers.
No. There's no way. Right, one more time.
Right. There you go.
Brother
Rangers.
Brother, nah. Absolutely not.
I was
not.
Saying
no
it in
way.
A Highland twang.
Sorry. Defeat. Is that the first of 2020?
Oh,
the first of the new decade, is it?
That's the first in I cannot believe it. I got Kouassi. Come on.
No, you didn't.
I did. I say his pass sort of a Kouassi.
Absolute nonsense, I'm afraid.
Well done, Lewis. He was good. Aye.
You want the stats, though? Your first defeat since September. I think it's a third of the season.
I'm gutted. I'm a winner. I'm gutted. Honestly.
Yeah, okay. Any Motherwell or Aberdeen fans out there, give us your take on that battle for third in the game last night. Was a significant victory for the Steelmen at Pittodrie. You would have been happy, Gordon, I would imagine.
Oh, a brilliant result. Absolutely brilliant. I said on Tuesday that, you know, gone are the days when you go to Pittodrie, Motherwell, and thinking, yeah, points are a great result. I said that they could be positive and get 3 points, and that's exactly what happened. Good goal, I've got to say.
Big Englishman.
Big English boy that was signed from Northern Ireland. I don't know when he moved. But a good header and a good goal, good victory, and well deserved.
I think it was a foul before it on Ferguson.
Nah, you're clutching.
I thought that could have went either
way.
You've just
gone with your wee
foul. I think it could have went either way.
I think you don't know your audience in here if you're expecting that.
Motherwell have done great. And, you know, they just keep churning out results. But to go to Pittodrie, that was a real statement last night. Hard place to go. Dylan McGee coming in. Aberdeen squad looking better. But the fans certainly weren't happy at the end of it, and they've shown that.
Motherwell fans, just how pleased were you? Aberdeen fans, educate me, because I live my life looking at social media, and the reaction was furious towards Derek McInnes, towards Aberdeen. Is that just a social media thing? Is that just that usual outpouring? How frustrated are you in reality? 01419511025. Stephen Robinson says it's one of the best away performances since he arrived at the club. He was happy with the organisation and the way they put their bodies on the line.
Yeah, I'm delighted with the performance levels. To come here, it's a very hard task. But they've got a very good squad, Aberdeen. I've utmost respect for the management staff. And to come here and, you know, be as disciplined and perform like that, credit to the players to put their bodies on the line when they needed to. You know, I thought we were really organised and disciplined. We've been better on the ball. You know, if I'm being highly critical, which is very, very difficult after a performance like that, but we can be better than that. We can play better in terms of our possession. But when we had to defend and when we had to put our body on the line and stay organised and disciplined, probably one of the best away performances that I've had in my time here. It's still early stages, I think. You know, we've just started the second period of the season, first league game. We can't start better than that. You know, we had a real difficult four games with Dundee and Aberdeen, and the thing we've done, we've won a couple of games and then lost the next one, so we have to be right on it for the Hibs game, and we'll make sure we are.
Managers get judged on a couple of things. Results, obviously. Recruitment is probably the next one, would you say? And then also the way they improve players that they've already got, Gordon. And Stephen Robinson gets credit for results, he gets credit for the recruitment. Declan Gallagher, Liam Polworth, standout examples this season. What about developing players that were already there, or you know, have been there for a while? Liam Donnelly, you've heard the story before. He was a bit part player, a lot of injuries, didn't really play, was really a defender, a centre half. Plays in midfield this season, defensive midfield. He's up to 10 goals for the season.
Brilliant return. I've got to say, the manager ticks all the boxes. Occasionally watch him training in Ravenscraig, Gordon, when I'm there, obviously, every morning working out in the gym. That's why I've got the physique I've got. And when the weather's cold, Motherwell train indoors, as you know. We stand there and watch. And he puts a lot of work into organisation, working in players. I think another one, a perfect example, I think is getting better and better every time I see him, is young James Scott. I think he's got to be an absolute star. I really do. I think he's got everything in his locker. I think the Motherwell manager has got to take all the credit in the world. I really do. And obviously he's got a good staff in there, Keith Lasley and people like that, that help. And they're just, to go last night, and it wasn't a surprise for me. And I know that Aberdeen fans can go on and social media and go off their head at the Aberdeen manager. Motherwell are a real good side. That's us 4 points in front of Aberdeen now. Europe, here we come. I can't wait to see the draw.
Funny he mentions working out in the gym, Mark. When I pulled into the car park this morning, I saw his car was there. So I thought, oh, that's fine. So I'll see him when I get in the gym. I walked into the gym, nowhere to be seen. The car was in the car park. He wasn't in the gym, so I can only assume that he swapped their own machine for the vending machine and was hanging out in the cafe. And that would explain the physique.
That's not true.
Derek McInnes thought Aberdeen were the better team despite losing. He says they did deserve to be punished for the goal and left themselves with all to do in the second half.
We build the game as a very important game, so the result's everything. I think we're up against a good side. I thought You know, no surprises for Murrow. I thought we had to fight for every inch in that first half. I thought the midfield area was pretty even in there, but I thought we weren't getting pushed about in there. I thought we kind of passed the ball better at times. I thought we were a better team, but ultimately the result's everything. The goal we lose deserves to be punished from our point of view, the way we defended it. I thought we were being competitive enough. I thought the players were working extremely hard, and there wasn't a lot in it. I think it was two teams with a healthy regard for each other, kind of going toe-to-toe, but like I say, I thought we had the better of the opportunities in the first half. But ultimately, we got down 1-0, and we've got it all to do. Motherwell got something to hang on to, and I thought they defended well, and they've shown their capabilities as they have done throughout the season. You know, I think they're a good side, Motherwell. But like I say, I thought we were better, but it counts for nothing when you don't take your chances.
The ongoing feeling surrounding Derek McInnes fascinates me, because we're obviously outsiders, Gordon, and it's quite easy to take a simplistic view in things and say, well, Aberdeen are fourth, they're only 4 points behind third, there's every chance they will finish third, and that's where you would expect them to finish, because they ain't going to touch Celtic or Rangers, so what's the drama? However, people who are there, people who go every week, people who pay their money, people who are emotionally invested in the club, queue up to tell us that they're just not happy with what they're seeing at the moment.
Yeah, it surprises me, because Mark's right. If you look at their starting 11 last night, it's a very, very good squad, Gordon. And outside Rangers and Celtic's probably the highest wage budget in that league, especially compared against Motherwell, who are sitting 4 points in front. With the new training ground and everything, I think Aberdeen fans are expecting a lot more. Derek, yes, he had some great seasons finishing second to Celtic when Rangers were not in the league. But lately they've struggled a little bit. You know, you would expect Aberdeen to get to cup finals and maybe win an odd cup here and there, especially with the squad and the resources that they have. So, you know, sometimes you're there that long. And Derek, you know, he's been there a right few years, done a terrific job. I'm not criticising him for the job that he's done. But sometimes, you know, you can just overstay your welcome a little bit. And I think one or two Aberdeen supporters are now looking, thinking, has Derek taken us as far as we possibly can? Because you're right. By the way that everything goes, Celtic Rangers challenge for the league, and then you should really have Aberdeen finishing above the rest. Just now, it's not happening for them. And they've had some poor results.
Not far away though, that's the thing.
No, but they've had some poor results this year, especially at home, drawing the cup to Stenhouse Muir, for instance. And, you know, they've lost a few games and drawn up there. And Aberdeen fans expect a lot from their team. I don't think they're expecting to win the league, but I think they're expecting really to be up there in third and challenging for cups. And just now it's not happening. But I'm sure that Derek's working very hard to turn it around, but he has got a very good squad there.
Like I say, Mark, if you were just to look at the league table, you probably wouldn't bother asking the question. I'm asking it purely because, and you can dismiss it, you can say that's what happens on Twitter, that's what happens on social media, but the reaction last night was quite severe.
Yeah, I think Derek knows that though. I think when Derek was at his height, you know, and he was second with Aberdeen, he was getting to cup finals, there's always been a small band of Aberdeen fans who keep saying, oh, he's took us as far as we can go. You know, we got to the cup final, but we didn't beat an invincible Celtic side. Derek's took us as far as we could go. And he bounced back from that, and he bounced. So he's had this wee group that's always been niggling away. The question is, with Derek, you get rid of him, a guy who's been consistent over the years in terms of where they finish in the table and getting to latter stages of cups. You bring somebody else in. Who? I mean, do you go the form route that Hearts have went down and it takes a wee bit of time? Derek's invested so much into the squad and training ground that I think it's the right decision that he sees this through, and he gets a chance to get a bit of money from this new investment that's coming in to bolster the squad. Now, I don't think he'll challenge Rangers and Celtic, but he'll give himself a better chance. He's shown he can almost get there, if you like, in terms of cup competitions. Maybe he just needs that wee bit of extra cash that might be coming in the summer to help him get there.
01419511025, that's the number you need to get in touch tonight. It was a full fixture card last night. Loads of talking points, some we've touched on, some we haven't. So if you want to elaborate on something or bring up something new, now is the perfect time to do so. We're going to get the guys a full time teaser next as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. Gordon DL suffered a crushing blow, a defeat on Beat the Pundit. He's having a bit of a nightmare. So let's see if he can go one better on tonight's full time teaser. A nice, easy question for you, this one. Sent in by David this evening to fulltime at Clyde1.com. Can you name 10 players who've played in Scotland and won the English Premier League, but only once?
Ian Wright.
Yes.
Chris Sutton.
Yep.
Played Colin Henry.
Lovely.
Ah, beautiful. Chris Sutton.
Kinchelskis. No, he won it more than once.
He did win it more than once.
Thinking our Blackburn player.
I like David. Well, I like David's style. He says this is according to Wikipedia's list of English Premier League winners.
Stephen Honcho.
No.
No. Henning Berg.
Nope.
Damien Duff.
Nope. Some of those guys you meant. Well, Berg's won it more than once.
Oh, has he?
Oh, I mean,
don't think Damien Duff's won it, has he? Anyway, he's not on the list, so. Okay, we'll leave it there. You've got plenty of time. 10 players who played in Scotland and won the English Premier League, but only once. So it rules out guys like Henning Berg. It rules out a couple of the other high profile
names. Defoe's never won it, has he?
No. Alright, we'll get back to it, because you've got three already. You've got Chris Sutton, Colin Henry and Ian Wright. 3 down, 7 to go. Let's speak to Robbie, who's a Celtic fan from Falkirk. What did you make of the game last night, Robbie?
I have to agree with Gordon and Mark. I thought Celtic, the shape of the team, the 3-5-2 looked really, really good. And I like the flexibility of the team. The reason being is obviously when Celtic, a team are coming on to Celtic and Celtic are defensive, then they're going to be really be playing with five at the back. And when they're pushing forward, Frimpong is Frimpong and whoever else, it was Johnny Hayes, it's then becoming a five-man midfield with two up front. And I think that if Neil Lennon sticks with this team, then James Forrest, with this system, sorry, then James Forrest isn't going to get in, no matter what Gordon thinks. He'll just not get into that team. Now, he did play the 3-5-2 with Hibs at home, and he played James Forrest up front alongside Edward. He didn't play him off Edward, he played him up front the same way that Griffiths would. The two, he was actually an out-and-out front two that for it, and I think he changed it in the second half, and it didn't look too good then. And I think I really like the flexibility of the system. And I think it's totally wrong. Now, this is what I'm going to go with. That you change your full system just to suit one player to bring him. Now, I'm going to say to Gordon, he's spot on. See if it goes back to a 4-2-3-1, you can then put Forrest. Now, I was wondering if Mark and Gordon agree with me here that it would be a good... If it does go back to the 4-2-3-1 and Forrest comes back in, like what Gordon said, that probably would happen if it goes back to that system, that moving Jeremy Frimpong one forward to keep the heat on Forrest right on his heels in that right wing position, I would like to see Frimpong push forward one. And if you just want to go ahead and answer that one, I'll get back on our point.
I know what Daz will say in this, and I'll probably agree with him. You know, being a fullback, you know, I'm different from Frimpong because he started at a winger, but I always like seeing the game in front of me, having someone outside me to pass it to. Frimpong is really creative. You know, he can stand up and square up a defender and go by him. I think he likes receiving the ball, you know, in front of him, and has the time to gallop on, can stop and start and go by people. A lot of the time you need to think, when James Forrest gets the ball, or a winger, or any winger gets the ball, they've got a fullback almost within a couple of yards of them. And that's why wingers are probably so inconsistent. They get judged on whether they can drop a shoulder and just go by somebody with their first touch. I think Frimpong would be better. I think he's hugely suited to the 3-5-2, where he's half and half almost, but he can gallop on. I just think Forrest is much better at getting the ball with a winger, a fullback right at him, and he can make a split second decision.
Robbie, might it be the case though that this system is only getting used because James Forrest isn't available and because El Yunusi isn't available? So your first choice wingers aren't there, and maybe that's why the system's getting used.
No, because I just told you there, they knew the Hibs game, he played Forrest up front, he had to play Forrest. I was saying that was because of an injury. They decided to go with James Forrest instead of Lewis Morgan up front. You mind the 3-5-2 against Hibs?
Yeah. That's what I mean, though. I'm not saying I disagree, I'm asking you the question, with everybody fit, do you think Neil Lennon plays this system at all?
I would like to see him go with it. Personally, my own opinion, I would like to see him go with the 3-5-2. I would like to make another point that's an interesting one, and it comes to Gordon previously being a manager, and Mark, see a couple of times on I made this point to you a couple of weeks ago, see this, the manager sees them in training to an extent. It's a double-edged sword for me, because I'll tell you why, right? See, the punters, you can't kid on the punters, you just can't kid them on, because see at the end of the day, as fitness aside, and depending on how the players are taking the information, the manager sees them in training. See, at the end of the day, see the punters. They see them at the most important place, and that's on the field they play. So when you hear about guys coming on and making points, and some of your panelists will say, "I see them in training." See, at the end of the day, with decisions, you can't cut the punters on. They see them where it counts the most. Mm. You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
Another thing I want to answer, Mark, see if you've got, and Gordon, it's a very interesting point I'm going to make. See if you've got a guy, right, and you're wanting, there's two going for one position, but there's one that's no cutting it in training, but you think to yourself, didn't it look good this week? I'll tell you one thing. See, last week, when he actually played for me, he played an absolute blinder. He's maybe off, his touch is a wee bit off, he's just not looking as sharp as somebody else. How do you see that? Because see, at the end of the day, see what counts for me. I understand that the training thing is important for Pep, but see, at the end of the day, where it counts the most is on a Saturday. That's where it counts the most. So I want to hear how you have made decisions in the past with that.
Yeah, well, managers nowadays go with different formations, different teams. I've got to say I like the 3-5-2.
No, but just because we've sort of touched on that, what about the last point there about the importance of how a player trains versus the importance of how he plays? How much did you balance them up?
No, because other managers? I always had you could tell that there's a lot of players, Gordon, when I was managing, you look at them in training, they're absolutely brilliant. Put them on the big pitch, 11v11, and they're a completely different player. I can understand Robbie's point of view of that.
There's players vice versa, though,
exactly.
Terrible trainers, but
brilliant on the pitch. I was one of them. But it's up to the manager when he looks at the team, the opposition he's playing against, personnel, everything. Systems are all different now. Me personally, I go with the guys in form.
On a Saturday rather than training?
Yes. Yes, until they let me down on the match day, when I can say, right, I can look them in the eye and tell them the reasons why I'm going to leave them out the team that day, and give them the explanation, rather than turn around and say, well, you've not trained well from Monday to Friday, you missed a few shots, you went over a bar in the shooting practice, so I'm not going to play. I would judge it on a match day.
To be fair, maybe I think it's something. That's a comment people throw out there when they actually don't know the answer, Mark, because no one is for a second suggesting Greg Taylor doesn't train well. We have no idea if he trains well. You almost just have to let it dangle as a possibility, because every Celtic fan comes on and asks, why does Johnny Hayes play ahead of Greg Taylor? And it's almost like, well, maybe it's something to do with training, because at the moment, maybe there's not a great deal of evidence to suggest anything else.
Maybe. But Johnny Hayes has come in and...
Maybe the manager thinks Hayes is better.
That's
than
what I was going to say.
Of course, I'm talking about in the eyes of these Celtic fans, because we're inundated with this opinion.
And maybe the manager thinks that the games Greg Taylor has played, what are the 8 of them or 9 of them or something like that, he hasn't been outstanding enough to keep his place. I'd said earlier on the show, I would like to see a lot more of Greg Taylor. When you bring a player in and he's a player who's steady and an internationalist now, I think he could do a fantastic job for Celtic. But Neil Lennon is the one that picks the team. Listen, back in when I was at Celtic, the one that kind of strikes up a chord with that was Derek Riordan. Derek Riordan used to split supporters as well, and people used to always say, why is Gordon Strachan never play him? And Gordon used to say, best finisher at the club, and he was outstanding. But Gordon wanted a team who would work. So Derek would come on and he might score one in the top corner, and he had outrageous ability, brilliant. But Gordon wanted guys to work in a specific way in the build up to a game, and that's why Derek probably didn't get as much game time. And it was the same as this. Fans were going, can't I believe he's not playing? And it was, it's, I can see how it's difficult to tell the difference, but managers just have their ways of working through the week.
Robbie, before we let you go, what did you make of the Lee Griffiths incident towards the end of the game?
I thought it was a bit of a nothing incident. I mean, all it was if he's taking that type of abuse, then you've got to actually look at what he actually done. I mean, he never threw a bottle or a heavy object that could have struck somebody's head. It was just a bit of tape off his hand that he threw in the direction of a Kilmarnock supporter who, by all accounts, was giving him abuse due to his mental health. Even Craig Gordon, there's photos of Craig Gordon I've seen today, and even he was having a finger point at the accused, like, you know what I mean? So at the end of the day, it was only a bit of tape, but you know, it's like with all Firm guys, Celtic Rangers players involved, it gets all blown out of proportion.
Yeah, Gordon's take on it and Mark's similar, though. They agree that, yeah, it was only a bit of tape, but that quite simply, he shouldn't have done it. Do you understand that argument as well?
Absolutely. It should have just ignored. See, another thing as well, I like to see guys just blank out. See, like guys like Billy McNeil and Walter Smith and these guys, like, I'm even talking about like Neil Lennon can get a wee bit. Even if he's receiving abuse, just ignore it. Mind that stuff, he got hit with a coin at Hearts and he put his, it was at Ibrox with Hibs, and he put his, I think there was a goal for Hibs, and he put his hands up to his ears and get it up, you sort of sign with two arms together. He should have just left. Again, why not just ignore the fans at the back? You just totally ignore them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can, Robbie, I can totally understand frustration and, you know, your anger. We've all had, listen, nobody's had more criticism in their Celtic career than Mark Wilson. But the one thing I admire about him was he always walked off when he gets subbed, and he just sat in the dugout and put his tracks on. Griffiths, I think, you know, Griffiths, I thought last night, I thought he's starting to look back to his old best. And yeah, he goes over and gives it to Chris Boyd. I'm not interested in that childish stuff. If he wants to do that, then fine. I wouldn't bother what Chris Boyd says about me. And I don't think Chris Boyd's interested than what Lee Griffiths thinks about him. It's a personal opinion. And to be fair to Chris Boyd, he was only giving an opinion out. So Griffiths gave him one back. Fine, no problem. But when you walk off the pitch, yes, it's the hardest thing in the world when you've got fans giving you what for. And it is. And you've got to bite your thumb. But in the modern day game now, especially, you've got to be in your best behaviour. You cannot be seen to be thrown that. You've now given them an excuse.
Thank you very much. That was Robbie in Falkirk. Let's move swiftly on and speak to Craig, who is a Rangers fan from East Kilbride. What did you take away from the game last night, Craig? Are you a points above everything else man, or do you see some areas that concerned you with the performance?
I've got a couple of points, to be honest. First of all, good evening, panel. How are you doing?
Evening.
Great show as usual. But a couple of points. Rangers fans need to remember where they were 4 years ago compared to where we are now in the league. Right. So that's a big thing for me. We've got a lot better chance of winning the league this time than we ever have for many years that's gone by. Yes, Morelis no been there. We probably could have got another couple of goals, made it comfortable when it maybe comes to goal distance or something like that. But I think all in all, are playing really well. I think Defoe's been a great add to the team. I think it was Gordon that said it earlier when I was listening. If you get him the balls, he'll do the damage at the end. Like, I think it's just there's something missing in the middle of the park. Personally, I think we've kind of stale apart from Arfield, but the rest of them are all kind of stale. It's all playing the same kind of football. I'd have liked to have seen more goals, to be honest, but I'd rather take the points away than no points. It's kind of where I'm at.
Listen, that was the point I was making earlier on, Craig. These games, you kind of take these games for granted. That I know fans turn up to Ibrox and Celtic Park and they want, you know, mind-blowing football that results in 4 and 5 nil. But the reality is, teams come and make it difficult. And you coming back from Dubai in the winter break, you would take a 1-0 and move on. You know, the Rangers will play better in weeks to come, no doubt about that. But these games are sticky. In terms of the midfield area, I mean, Arfield was playing there a couple of weeks ago, and people were saying he's, you know, he's much better in that position, and Rangers are playing better, and he's been an outstanding player, and he was on the bench last night. But Ryan Jack was adding goals to his games,
yeah, going forward, yeah,
as well, going forward. So I think you said it earlier, Daz. I think Rangers are, I know it might not look you know, creative at every single moment. But that's, you know, Ryan Kent's there, you know, Aribo's there, you know, Ojo are, and guys like that are further forward to try and create. You know, those three that played last night are a solid bunch. I mean, in the three that played at Celtic Park, people were raving about how the game was won in the midfield area at Celtic Park because of the midfield. So I don't think it's a... for me personally, I don't think it's a great worry for Rangers.
What else is on your mind, Craig? I'm conscious that we're approaching a break, but I want to give you your say.
I just like it. I think I sometimes take a bit of stock. To be honest, I've been a Rangers fan since I was old enough to see Rangers. I think I was taking to Rangers games with my father and that years ago, and blah blah blah. But I just think people seem to forget. Yes, we all want top flight football, and we want games like when Gascoigne was playing, and we want games like when Loudrup was playing. But we've been really low in the league tables for a wee while there. We were doing a few leagues, blah blah blah. It's going to take time to get back to that, and I think Rangers fans and as a whole need to remember that we're building back to that point. We're not there yet, but we will get there eventually.
Perhaps that's where part of it lies though, Gordon, when you have made that journey and now you're as close as you've ever been. That just ramps everything up. It ramps up the pressure, ramps up the intensity of everything.
Yeah, there's pressure on both sides. Obviously Celtic want to go on and clinch that 9 in a row. Rangers want to stop them. So their pressure's in. Where I'm sort of not getting the... And Craig's saying about, well, Rangers fans got to remember where we were 4 years ago. Yeah, of course. But it's a completely different Rangers now, in the sense of the amount of money that they spend, the manager they've brought in, the coaching staff they've brought in, the players that they've brought in, the wage bill that they've got. You're looking at over the last 2 years, Gordon, well, not even 2 years under Steven Gerrard. You're looking at over 34, 35 players over brought in. So it's completely different. Yeah, I don't think you can now go back and say, well, you know, we've got to remember where we were 4 years ago. You're in some position now to go and try and win a league.
Craig, thank you very much for your call. We'll hopefully speak to you soon. On tonight's teaser, we're looking for 10 players who played in Scotland and won the English Premier League, but only once. So you've got Chris Sutton, yeah, Colin Hendry and Ian Wright so far.
Yeah, I've got one. Andy King, Leicester.
Yes.
Good one.
So very good one.
If that's the case, then Schmeichel came to Falkirk and won the league with Leicester as well.
Correct. Good shout.
Any more Leicester? Madison? No, he wasn't there, was he?
Mike Newell.
Oh, yes. Well done.
Have that.
Okay, we'll leave it there. You've got a few more to get. We'll get them next. Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com. Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're looking for the answers to the teaser. See, the good thing about the teaser is you just blame David, who sent the question in, because he's already been in touch to say that, remember, we were asking for 12 players, 10 players, you're now looking for 12.
Oh, is that David is getting along?
Guys like David are causing me no end of problem.
I checked this as well, which is even worse. I take part of the blame. But so we're looking for 12 players who've played in Scotland and won the English Premier League once. This is according to their Wikipedia pages, of course. So you've got Chris Sutton, Colin Hendry, Mike Newell, Ian Wright, Andy King, Casper Schmeichel.
Dion Dublin, by any chance?
Yes, well done.
Great shout, by the way.
And Henrik Larsson.
Brilliant, well done.
Yes.
I told you, Mark.
So from your new revised number, you've got 4 to get.
4. Go on, you give the Chelsea one that's wrong.
Yeri Yarasic.
Yes.
Yes.
Well done, yes. Mark Wilson.
Right, 3 to get. We'll get them a bit later on. Let's speak to Justin in the city centre. Hi, Justin.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Not too bad. Good. Not too bad. At least it's not raining. That's always a bonus.
Absolutely.
It was just a question for all of you guys, to be honest with you, just your thoughts. I was having lunch today with a respected source, let's say, which it pained me to listen to what he was saying, but anything he's ever kind of gave to me, he's in the game, anything he's ever gave to me or spoken to me about has tended to happen. So it kind of pained me. I just thought, well, I'll see what the panel think.
First of all, where are we having lunch?
And so finishing.
And did he pick up the tab, this guy?
Don't go to that list, no.
As narrows it down,
on
then
you go.
It wasn't
it Daz?
That's another reason why he's a decent source, because he always expects to get fed while he's talking about things.
Anyway, go on.
As I say, as a Rangers fan, it kind of pained me when he was talking to me, but he was kind of reluctant to tell me. But
that Mark, from what he said to me, Morelos has apparently agreed, a deal has apparently been agreed with the proviso that...
Well, the suspense is killing me here, Justin. Who's the club?
My understanding is it's an English Premier League club.
Oh, he's teasing us, Gordon.
Oh, come on, Justin.
Is it Justin?
My understanding, for what he's told me, if it's to be believed, is that apparently a deal has already been agreed with Tottenham for 25 million quid.
Much?
25 million with add-ons. With the proviso that Rangers get a replacement. And I was just thinking...
Harry Kane.
Is that a reason why that maybe we have stepped up the interest in Tyrese Campbell? Is there kind of avenue for that? And do you think that would be enough? I know Gerrard has come out and said not for any money, and Dave King's come out and said not for any money. But do you think that's maybe been a case to make sure that any bid that does come in isn't a low ball to try and tempt us, that it's going to have to be a decent figure before they would be tempted to just to get what the panel thought?
Well, okay. it's not one I'm aware of, Gordon, yeah. But that doesn't mean to say that I am more than willing to bow to Justin's source. What do you think?
Well, I'm sure Dave King actually came out and said even if it was 25 million, it wouldn't be sold in the January
did
window.
Did he put a number on it? I think he just said for...
No, I think he mentioned 25.
Sure?
Yes, I think if you go back and look at it, you'll find that I'm correct. I could be wrong. but I would find it very surprising, even at 25 million quid. Obviously, Spurs with Harry Kane, yeah, you can put that jigsaw together out with the injury he's got. I think it's a hamstring. Morelos, Mourinho, I speak to... Josie will probably ask
right,
him.
Enough, this is ridiculous. Mark, let's get a serious answer if
listen,
we can.
I'd be astonished, purely because, you know, the Rangers manager and the chairman comes out and says he'll not be sold for whatever it is. And to be honest, if Rangers are... We were just chatting about it. If Rangers are this close, you know, to Celtic and they've got real aspirations of winning the league, then... You can't sell your main striker who scored, what has he scored, 28 goals
Justin,
already.
Did you see in this transfer window, or are you talking about the summer?
No.
My understanding for what I've been led to believe is that it's on the proviso, it will go in this transfer window if Rangers get a replacement and that's the proviso of it, or it's to be, you know, if not, the push is forth to be that in this window in the next 8 days. But if not, then it would be at the end of the season.
The problem is getting a replacement, because in the summer, if it's a summer transfer window, then you've got from, you know, the end of June or mid-June, you know, right up to August to work with this player and get him up to speed and see if he's a natural goal scorer, like you've scouted him. You bring a guy in just now, he's got to hit the ground running. He's got to start scoring goals right away, or the fans are questioning your decision-making, your ambition. I don't think they can sell Morelos.
I get the logic, Justin, about, you know, was that a ploy from Dave King, Stephen Gerrard to drive the price up? But when they come out and say that, he's definitely not leaving. Stephen Gerrard says it. Dave King says it. He's definitely not leaving. If we were to suggest that they weren't being completely honest, then Rangers fans would be a bit annoyed at the suggestion. So what makes you not inclined to just take them at face value?
I just think that from your standpoint of view, I totally understand and agree that you know, to let Morelos go in the form that he's in and the talisman that he is to his would be a kind of blow for a lot of people, and it would be a kind of surprising avenue. But nobody's bigger than the club at the end of the day, and we've had top quality players that have left at maybe no ideal situation before, and we've got over it and we've dealt with it.
I think it's different, Justin. I really do. I'm sorry.
I think it's so different.
Now, what I'm going to say is quite simple for me. I'm not saying that Morelos is the one that's going to win Rangers the league. I'm not saying that. But I think you've got a better chance with Morelos at Rangers than away from Rangers. Now, if they sold Morelos, and even if it was for the 25 million you're talking to, even if it was to Spurs, and Rangers did end up finishing second to Celtic, I think that is some decision from the board. I really do.
Well, I'll tell you what, you've hung the source out there, Justin. You've not named him, but he is out there. Everyone is going to be following this and keeping an eye. So keep in touch with us over the coming days and weeks before this transfer window closes. That was Justin in the city centre. Nice lunch today. Morelos, though, maybe off to Spurs.
Tell Justin if he buys me a lunch, I'll give him a few stories. Keep on going.
Good man. That was Justin in the city centre. Thank you very much for the call. Right, let's get back to this teaser. Yeah. We are looking for 12 players. Seamlessly brush over that. We're looking for 12 players who played in Scotland and won the English Premier League, but only once. You've got Mike Newell, Ian Wright, Henrik Larsson, Andy King, Kasper Schmeichel, Chris Sutton, Dion Dublin, Colin Hendry.
Four to get.
Three to get.
Is Franny Jeffers one?
No.
Oh, that's a great shout. What about, oh, Van Bronckhorst?
Yep.
Ah, oh, good shout, aye.
Right, that's me out. I'm struggling now.
Two to get. One played for Rangers, one played for Celtic.
Come on, Mark.
You might not
remember. William Miller?
No, you might not remember him playing for Celtic. It wasn't exactly a long and extensive career.
What position?
He was an attacker. If Hugh Keevans was here, I'd get him to say the name because he loves pronouncing this guy's name. Oh. He's French. Hugh says it with so much. Let's hear Gordon try. Because you couldn't pronounce Brora Rangers on Beat the Pundit.
I pronounced it well.
Okay.
Move on.
Aliadier is one more to go. Bit easier to pronounce this one.
For Rangers?
Yes.
Position?
Goalkeeper.
Andy Gorham?
No.
No, he only.
Because you said aye.
Goalkeeper.
Goalie? Yeah.
Played in goals. Big gloves.
Come on, goalie.
For Rangers. Rangers. What year, Gordon? Give us a clue.
2007-08.
Oh. People shouting at the radio everywhere.
I can actually hear them.
I've got it. Love it.
Brother.
Dazzler has got it. Played with Man United, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Roy Carroll.
Well done. You were horrendous and Beat the Pundit, but you made up for it there. Thank you to Gordon and Mark. We are back tomorrow at 6 o'clock, and it's Callum Gallagher up next, taking you through the next couple of hours.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.